This Week in America with Rick Bratton. Issues that matter to you. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
In My Son the Doctor, the Trials and Tribulations of a Modern-Day Jewish Physician, Dr. Dale Block delivers a heartfelt and compelling memoir, chronicling his unique journey through the demanding world of medicine, enriched by his cultural heritage, personal resilience, and professional evolution. With over four decades of experience, Dr. Block opens a rare window into the life of a family physician who has lived through and often led major shifts in American healthcare. The memoir does not shy away from sensitive topics, including mental health struggles, anti-Semitism, and the harsh realities of the healthcare system. Dr. Dale Block, author of My Son the Doctor, The Trials and Tribulations of a Modern-Day Jewish Physician, our guest next on This Week in America.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Listen up, fellow timeshare owners. If you're a timeshare owner and you want out at all costs, you're done, frustrated, tired of wasting money, you don't use the darn thing. Get out now. Hire the best bulldog timeshare cancellation team in the business. Their in-house legal team, headed by a timeshare cancellation lawyer, can help you fight the biggest and baddest companies out there that sell timeshare. At some point, you were using your timeshare, but now you're not, and you're tired of wasting money. Before you go to the poorhouse, call right now and learn how you can stop the maintenance fees and put more money back in your pocket. Their services cost you a lot less than you think, and you'll save a lot of money over time. Call the Timeshare Exit Hotline now. It's a free consultation.
800-715-6093. 800-715-6093. 800-715-6093. That's 800-715-6093.
I'm in my late 60s. My husband died a few years ago. He did all of our taxes. I sold a piece of property last year, and I forgot to claim the proceeds of the sale. Next thing I know, I got a letter from the IRS telling me that I owe over $50,000. Now I have a huge tax problem. I don't have that kind of money. I wish I knew who to call.
If you sold property in the last calendar year or didn't claim all of your part-time or even retirement income, you could be in big trouble with the IRS. Call first before they send you a letter. If you've already got a letter, call. We'll help you file years of past tax returns and save you time and money. So call the tax doctor. The call is confidential and free.
800-795-6170. 800-795-6170. 800-795-6170. That's 800-795-6170.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. In My Son the Doctor, The Trials and Tribulations of a Modern-Day Jewish Physician, Dr. Dale Block takes readers on an intimate journey through his life as a contemporary Jewish doctor, navigating the complexities of medicine, culture, and personal identity. This heartfelt narrative offers a window into the soul of a Jewish physician, striving to uphold his values in an ever-changing world. Dr. Block is a seasoned board-certified family physician with over five decades of experience across diverse clinical settings where he has led healthcare teams, a highly skilled physician executive and health educator, and he has contributed extensively to the healthcare field as the author of several books, peer-reviewed publications, and scientific abstracts. My Son the Doctor is a rare window into the life of a family physician who has lived through and often led major shifts in American healthcare. And author Dale Block is our guest on This Week in America. Doctor, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Great. Thank you, Rick. I'm glad to be on.
So much in the book I want to talk about. Let's start, first of all, with the inspiration. When and why did you decide to write My Son, the Doctor?
Well, you know, after five decades of work in the health profession field, You get a lot of stories, and, you know, at parties, family gatherings, friends, they always want to know, did anything exciting or new happen today? And, you know, my stories, you know, are a lot, but I never really put pen to paper until I recently retired. And my wife said, you know, I think it's time to do this. And so I did. And it was a very challenging memoir to write because I wanted it to be honest. I wanted it to be open and truthful and authentic. And many doctors' memoirs today, they tell stories, but there's no context to the story. So it's difficult for the reader to really appreciate, you know, the nuance of [S2] Yes. [S1] What you're trying to say. And then add in culture and Jewish experience. And it provided an opportunity for me to really, I think, dig deep and give my readers of my son, the doctor, a really good way of getting inside to what my brain was going through for 5 years.
You know, it's interesting. You do not shy away from controversial topics, topics that we're discussing today, and we'll get through that during the course of the interview. How much of this is autobiographical? How much is fictionalized or even symbolic?
There is no fiction in My Son, the Doctor, Rick. It is all autobiographical. And that was part of, you know, the process of being authentic and open and honest. And I think readers of the book, the feedback that I've gotten is very positive. And in fact, it's one of those where it's a page turner. I've had several tell me they started the book, you know, in an early evening and wound up reading almost all the book before going to bed after midnight. So it says I did something right.
You did do something right. The book is My Son, the Doctor, The Trials and Tribulations of a Modern-Day Jewish Physician. Dale J. Block, Dr. MD, is our guest on the program today. His website, dalejblock.com. The link is on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Book available wherever books are sold. Can you describe maybe a defining moment in your medical career that shaped your perspective on healthcare? Anything that really made you Dr. Block, the Dr. Block that we know and we read about in the book?
Well, I have to probably point to my experience during medical school as a father with my daughter, Julie, who was born, I'm getting choked up when I talk about it, with a terminal illness. And navigating the healthcare delivery system and certainly government social agencies was challenging at best. And being a medical student, knowing a little, but really being a father and not knowing much, Julie was our first child. It was a very devastating experience. And even with how bad that experience was, Julie's memory serves as a constant reminder for me to be completely focused and present for my patients and their families. And I hope we have a chance to talk a little bit more about Julie's story a little bit later in the interview. But that's probably the defining moment of the beginning of my becoming a physician.
And that had to be motivation for most of your, basically all of your career, right? That memory and what you went through as a parent, and as you're dealing with other parents going through similar sets of circumstances, you really talked from knowledge, didn't you?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I learned how to give a difficult conversation some substance with compassion and empathy. You know, when parents, and I had a traditional cradle to grave practice in family medicine. So, you know, I did soup to nuts. And when I had sick children, or I had patients that were terminal that I was helping, at the end of life, I reminded them and they knew, Julie's story for the most part. And we could have that conversation and share, what it was like, going through that together. And I tell that multiple stories in My Son, the Doctor, about that type of experience with patients, families, and certainly, you know, those that were struggling with sick children.
You talk in the book about honesty, how that's so important. And you mentioned something that's interesting. When you are going to deliver bad news to someone, how difficult is it to do it with still some sense of empathy, some sense of hope, giving the person that's getting the bad news sort of something positive to get a hold of? How difficult is it to balance that?
Oh, it is very challenging. I think that the importance of being present, the importance of being a listener, The importance of reaching out and touching the patient, whether it's a handshake, a handhold, a hand on the shoulder, those kinds of expressions of compassion and empathy, I think, speak volumes. And it really starts the difficult conversations that we have to have with our patients. It's not an easy process. In fact, medical school up until recently really didn't teach much in the way of what we call the health humanities, which is understanding the patient's narrative, looking to shared decision-making, making the patient an active participant in their care. It's changing, and I'm proud to say that my generation helped change that. And now my son, who's a family doctor, is continuing on with that in his practice in family medicine. So hopefully generations to come will also learn that medical school prepares you for the clinical skills and knowledge. Seeing patients during medical school, residency training, and into practice is really where you learn the day-to-day skills of really being a good physician.
When you're a family physician, you see people through all stages of their lives. You develop a relationship with them. How difficult is it for you when you shut the door, you lock the office up, and you go home for the night? Is it just that easy to block that out of your mind, or are you dealing with people that are almost on a friendship level?
Well, I think it is has been for me very challenging to separate those activities when I get home. I am very lucky, Rick. I have a great wife. Her name is Ellen. She was a health professional as well and comes from a family of doctors. And so when we met and got together and got married right before medical school started, I think she knew what she was kind of getting into. And we just celebrated 43 years of marriage.
Wonderful.
And she has been, you know, my sounding board when I come home so that I can decompress. I will tell you that raising three children and being there for them as well as for your patients was always challenging. But family, you know, faith, a sense of community belonging, that's what Judaism teaches you. And that's what I practiced with my family through the years to kind of help deal with how do you separate out those emotions and feelings coming from your professional side into your personal side. So sometimes a half an hour around the block before I hit the door and all the issues that came up from the day from my kids and Ellen, I needed to do that to decompress. It just depends on the day.
How did the Jewish identity influence your path as a physician? You just touched on that, and it obviously is part of who you are as a person, as Dr. Block. How did it influence you?
Well, I grew up in a very traditional Jewish family. That believed in faith and a sense of that community belonging and the connection within family. And that was the heart of our daily life. My parents grew up in the Great Depression and had high school educations. But Judaism teaches us to be lifelong learners. And my folks impressed upon all of my siblings that to get a higher education was something that should be a goal for all of us, and we did. You know, some of my siblings didn't go on to college, but most did, or they got degrees later. I'm the only physician, and I think that the greatest of my mother sharing with others, my son, the doctor, which is where the title of the book comes, is really, you know, a Jewish mothers of a generation, I think, gone by to say that. And, you know, Jewish values go back centuries. But I think most important of all, and something that I learned to appreciate, is a saying in Hebrew, pikuach nefesh. And what it means is, life supersedes all other commandments. And I kept to that value throughout my career, the sanctity of life, that that doctor-patient relationship, it's all part of, I think, you know, my personal, cultural, professional growth. And I think that's how Judaism played a role, you know, in my becoming a good family physician.
Our guest is Dr. Dale J. Block. His website is dalejblock.com. The book is My Son, the Doctor, The Trials and Tribulations of a Modern-Day Jewish Physician. Book available wherever books are sold. The Amazon page is on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, as well as the link for the doctor's website, dalejblock.com. What do you hope the takeaway is as people read these stories? You get a number of emotions as you're reading through the book. What do you hope the main takeaway is from reading My Son, the Doctor?
Well, I think the importance of what it's like to go through as a Jewish physician over four decades of healthcare. I think that I'm somewhat unique in that other than post-World War II and maybe when Medicare and Medicaid was signed into law in 1965, I have lived through many transformations of the U.S. healthcare delivery system. And I talk about that chronologically in My Son, the Doctor. And so I'm hoping that my readers take that historical perspective away, but also a Jewish physician's perspective. And I think that by doing that, I'm hoping that it opens the minds and hearts of people that read it to have a deep appreciation for a different faith that maybe people aren't very familiar with today, and how that faith helps to really be the shining star, the North Star, whatever you use for navigation, to be certainly compassionate, empathetic, having cultural humility for others. That's what I'm hoping that they'll take away from reading the book.
More with our guest, Dr. Dale Block, author of My Son, the Doctor, after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
I'm in my late 60s. My husband died a few years ago. He did all of our taxes. I sold a piece of property last year, and I forgot to claim the proceeds of the sale. Next thing I know, I got a letter from the IRS telling me that I owe over $50,000. Now I have a huge tax problem. I don't have that kind of money. I wish I knew who to call.
If you sold property in the last calendar year or didn't claim all of your part-time or even retirement income, you could be in big trouble with the IRS. Call first before they send you a letter. If you've already got a letter, call. We'll help you file years of past tax returns and save you time and money. So call the tax doctor. The call is confidential and free.
800-795-6170. 800-795-6170. 800-795-6170. That's 800-795-6170.
People ask all the time, who the heck is low-cost airlines? Well, we're not just one airline. When you're talking to us, you're talking to everyone. We are the discount supermarket for all airline tickets. Plus, we have all the airlines and always have the best prices. American, Delta, United, plus all the specialized international airlines and a lot more. And we make it easy. We guarantee you'll talk to a live human in 60 seconds. You can have the rates you need and have your trip booked in 5 minutes. Now, how cool is that? And remember, when you're talking to us, it's like talking to every single airline available with one fast phone call. All you need to do is call and find the best prices to fly wherever it is you want to go. So are you ready? Call Low Cost Airlines right now. 800-264-3150. 800-264-3150. 800-264-3150. That's 800-264-3150.
Listen up, fellow timeshare owners. If you're a timeshare owner and you want out at all costs, you're done. Frustrated, tired of wasting money, you don't use the darn thing. Get out now. Hire the best Bulldog timeshare cancellation team in the business. Their in-house legal team, headed by a timeshare cancellation lawyer, can help you fight the biggest and baddest companies out there that sell timeshare. At some point, you were using your timeshare, but now you're not, and you're tired of wasting money. Before you go to the poorhouse, call right now and learn how you can stop the maintenance fees and put more money back in your pocket. Their services cost you a lot less than you think, and you'll save a lot of money over time. Call the Timeshare Exit Hotline now. It's a free consultation.
800-715-6093. 800-715-6093. 800-715-6093. That's 800-715-6093.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Now back to This Week in America and our guest, Dr. Dale Block, author of My Son the Doctor, The Trials and Tribulations of a Modern-Day Jewish Physician. The book My Son the Doctor touches on moral, ethical, systemic issues in healthcare. Any one of those topics particularly difficult for you, challenging for you to write about?
Yeah, this gives me a chance again to talk a little bit about Julie's story. Julie was born with a congenital anomaly called holoprosencephaly, which occurs in about 1 in 30,000 births, oftentimes seen as a genetic mutation. Julie did not have any abnormal chromosomes. So we really don't know what caused it. Ellen had a perfect pregnancy and was healthy. We don't know why it occurred, but telling her story, we were in the NICU a few days after Julie was born, and they were trying to sort out what all of the problems were, and they were telling us about her different anomalies that she would have. She had a seizure disorder that was intractable, deaf, blind. But one of the things that I think was amazing, and this story kind of helps me keep that perspective, is they told us Julie would pass in about 5 days. Well, that little girl had so much strength. She lived for 18 months and was, again, that testimony, I think, to strength that I really gained strength from. And throughout my whole career, as we talked about earlier, you know, the experiences that Ellen and I went through with Julie, and I talk about those in great detail in the book.
Yes.
Again, trying to really be authentic, and hopefully others may have some learned lessons from that, that Julie's story really got me started on the physician road that I wanted to be and continued to work on all the way through my retirement this past February. I think that that was probably the hardest thing for me to write about. And as I said earlier, the people that we met, we were so fantastic. Julie was one of the first children to be in hospice in the Toledo, Ohio area. She was a trailblazer. And throughout her life, you know, I think that she really taught me how to be a person-centered doctor. She taught me how to be present and in the moment with my patients. Gratitude, humility, compassion, empathy, how to have those difficult conversations as we just talked about. And what a great privilege it is to be a doctor. Not only that, but also how to be a really good person to my wife and family, and something that I work on every day. And so that kind of, I think, brings a little bit of closure, maybe for me, in writing about Julie's story in the book without forgetting.
When you mention Julie, I see the tear and I also see a smile on your face. If you're watching the video version, as Dr. Block is talking, and what a remarkable 18 months, a legacy that she has. You said something there that's interesting. Work on. Sometimes we think you go to medical school, you start practice, you've learned everything there is to learn. I get the impression you were constantly learning as you were practicing. Is that true?
Absolutely, Rick. I think if you're really dedicated to the healing arts, and there's inspiration behind that dedication, every day is a new day. Meeting new patients, dealing with the healthcare delivery system itself, helping teach others how to be doctors. My son would come to the office regularly when he was in junior high and high school. And then throughout his medical education or residency, he would come and work with me. Those are the kinds of things that I think really build the character of a good physician. And certainly I never had any problems getting patients to come to my practice. Sometimes it was too many, but you know, you start the day in the morning and the work isn't done until everybody's been seen. I's are dotted, T's are crossed, and the work ethic, I think, is something that I also wanted to put into the book, because there were good days, there were bad days, and then there were ugly days. You know, there's an old saying, and Rick, I think you might know this one. The ABC Wild World of Sports used to say, the thrill of victory and the act of defeat. That's the life of a family doc. A good family doc, one that cares about the folks that they're taking care of, as well as those that they're working with.
It's a life full of challenges. How does your story reflect the broader challenges faced by, well, physicians today? You've got burnout, bureaucracy, loss of autonomy, diseases of despair. How do you address all of that, and how did you deal with all of that?
Well, I think we talked about it a little bit before, the fact that, you know, I was really well-grounded at home. But, you know, I share stories about my own struggle sometime with depression and anxiety. You know, the maturation of a person is challenging enough, but add in the profession of being a physician is really challenging. And I think that when we went from a cottage industry of one and two physician practices, where the docs were GPs, they lived in the community amongst their families that they took care of, to what I call the medical industrial complex that is really focused more on margins, metrics, and market forces, is really behind, I think, causing the physician fatigue and despair. COVID-19, the pandemic, I think, was the straw that broke the camel's back. We lost many physicians to the COVID virus, as well as, unfortunately, to the diseases of despair, with some physicians taking their own lives. You know, that hit me, you know, in my heart more than anything. And I think that we're seeing the final straw with less primary care physicians, less specialists. You know, medical admissions to medical schools are up, but there isn't as many wanting to be primary care docs on the front line, which I think is potentially a problem, and something that I'm glad that my son has kind of taken on that next generation of being the educator, practicing, teaching, and the like. Unfortunately, the emergency department and urgent care centers are becoming primary care docs, and that shouldn't be. And I think that's one of the things that I'm hoping we'll see change over the next several years as we get more students going through training, picking primary care, because we have focused on physician wellness now, as well as patient wellness. And the two have to go hand in hand together, Rick, if we're going to solve the problems of a broken U.S. healthcare delivery system.
The Trials and Tribulations of a Modern-Day Jewish Physician. His doctor's website is dalejblock.com. Book available, again, wherever books are sold. Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Go to your neighborhood bookstore. Ask for a copy of it. And I'd like to thank Page Solutions, a dedicated team of literary managers passionate about representing writers in the literary marketplace, for arranging our conversation today. Doctor, I don't know where the time has gone, but it's gone by way too quickly. So much more to talk about. Hopefully we can continue our conversation. Thank you for being with us on the program.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.